A while back, we made our way past the practice rooms at Berklee College of Music in Boston in what would become a trip back in time. A guest lecture by famed album cover photographer Henry Diltz.
So here's the Crosby, Stills, Nash cover.
It's getting to the point where I'm no fun anymore.
We've added the music there on the wall behind the legendary photographer, the photograph that graces their first album. Sitting left to right on an old couch on an equally well-worn porch, Graham Nash, Stephen Stills, David Crosby. In the wrong order.
They were in the middle of their first album. They didn't have any photos of them, so we drove around, we found this old house, and they sat on the couch, we took these pictures. Then later, wait a minute, we decided to call ourselves Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Now, I said, let's just go back. And we went back, and the house was gone, bulldozed all the way to the back of the lot.
They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
Now here's Joni Mitchell, who was one of the Laurel Canyon people. She lived on Lookout Mountain, down the hill from where I lived. She needed publicity pictures.
There are a number of pictures of Joni Mitchell. You can either conjure them up or follow along at hereandnow.org. She's leaning out a window, staring at the camera with blue eyes. Then there's the picture Henry snapped of some shady guy at a Halloween party.
There was a guy hanging out. Nobody knew who it was, and Joni Mitchell.
I was always interested in capturing exactly what my eyes saw. I just wanted it to look just like that.
Well, because you wanted what you saw, what you have is a history. You have history.
Well, yes, which was surprising to me. I mean, I never once thought at the time, boy, someday I will have all these pictures. I never, never, ever thought that. It was just a daily thing. It was a part of life. It was something that I just did every day, you know.
Sugar Mountain, with the barkers and the colored balloons.
Here's Neil Young. This is a morning walk around his farm, and he bought part of Lionel Trains. His son is disabled, and he really loved running the trains with a special switch, so Neil invested heavily in Lionel Trains. And he devised special cars, like a cattle car. You know, in the old days, you push the button and it goes, "Rrr." Well, Neil recorded his herd of cows. So when you push the button on his, it was a moo.
You'd think that people would have had enough of a silly love song.
Here's Paul and Linda. Any of you people songwriters? Well, I witnessed something really great that day. They were sitting around the pool, and his little daughters were swimming, and at one point they held hands and jumped in the pool together, splash. And without missing a beat, he just started singing, "Two little sisters jumping in the pool." This little tune just drifted up into the air, and I thought, wow. There's, you know, a McCartney song that nobody will hear. And then about a year later, when that song, "Who's That Knocking at the Door," I know he was sitting in the living room with his feet on the coffee table with a guitar, and somebody knocked on the door, and he said, "Who's that knocking at the door?
Somebody ringing a bell. Someone's knocking at the door. Somebody's ringing a bell. Do me a favor, open the door. I let him in."
We take a break. Berklee teacher Peter Piak brings in pizza.
Okay, come get pizza.
And I wondered, why are these 20-somethings so loving Henry Diltz's pictures and the music from 40 to 50 years ago?
My name's Michael Goodman. I'm 21 years old.
So do any of these images resonate with you? Have you seen them before?
I've seen actually a lot of these before. I was raised on this kind of music. It's not going to be so long from now that people like this aren't going to be around to tell us these stories. So getting a chance to hear them firsthand is really nice.
Then there's Samantha Berezina, who also saw all these covers growing up.
I'm having trouble comprehending it, honestly. It's crazy to just see them in such a casual setting when I've listened to their music my entire lives and, like, hear casual stories about them.
Does this music mean something to you? I mean, yes, it means something to you in a nostalgic way because your parents had the albums, but does it resonate for you?
Yes. I love everything about Joni Mitchell. She's one of my favorite female powerhouse singers. I... adore everything she's ever done.
Case of you. I rest my case.
I drink a case of you, darling, and I would still be on my feet. Oh, I would still be on my feet.
We all went to the army together, right? Because in my neighborhood, when you're 17, right, the cops come to your house.
If you go to army, I go to jail.
It wasn't just music acts. Henry Diltz photographed people for magazine covers, and he did comics like Richard Pryor.
He said, well, if I do anything, it's got to be something rootsy with authentic sort of Aborigine weapons and stuff. So Richard knew where this little cave was up in Beverly Hills, and went there. He became that native. I mean, he was protecting that cave with his bow and arrow, and it looked so much like National Geographic.
What about the album art? You talked about the Richard Pryor album. Some would say that is a lost art.
Well, the art of the 12-inch square is lost because that, you know, album covers were a 12-inch square, and it was a beautiful art form to design on, and people would stare at those for hours. It was an automatic thing. You put the record on, and then you just stare at the picture while the music is going on. Then they shrunk to those little bitty CD covers and kind of lost that. But they're kind of coming back. You know, groups are insisting on having 12-inch vinyl albums. You know, people collect those old ones and put them on their wall. Yeah, it's a very interesting art form.
Ooh, 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 and woman, she got the moon in her eye.
For the Eagles' first album cover, the band left the Troubadour in L.A., traveled all night to Joshua Tree State Park, climbed a mountain in the dark, and shot As the Sun Rose, high on peyote.
You know, this was 1972, but they, you know, their idea was if it was 1872, they probably would have been gunslingers. And if they hadn't had guitars, they probably would have had six guns. We went out there with real cowboy clothes, real guns with blank ammunition. And these guys just went into a time warp, you know, and played cowboys. And they were shooting each other and rolling in the dirt and, you know, having a great time. And pretty soon we heard fire engines. And from all this shooting and all this gun smoke was rising in the air, and somebody thought the hills were on fire and called the fire department. Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? Well, Don Henley had written a song for a friend of his who had gone off the deep end, and the song was, for God's sake, Leo, why don't you come to your senses? And then they changed it into Desperado.
You've been out riding fences for so long now.
You know, I often say being a photographer is like having a passport into people's lives. You know, you end up in places, you know, that you, it's amazing, you know, that you, being a fly on the wall. Here is Tina Turner. Here's Garth Brooks. Here's the Morrison Hotel.
I'll keep your eyes.
The Doors' iconic cover was shot in an old hotel that band member Ray Manzarek spotted in downtown L.A.
This old funky hotel, it's at Morrison Hotel. It's a derelict hotel. Look, it rooms $2.50. So we walk in the lobby, nobody's in the lobby except a guy behind the desk, and I say, well, we're just going to be over there shooting a couple of pictures. And he said, no, you can't. And the guy left the desk, and I said, quick, run in there, you guys. And we took one roll of film and got out of there. Jim Morrison was a poet, you know. He was an observer. He wasn't like the movie with Val Kilmer. In fact, the first time he played on stage, he turned his back to the audience. Jimi Hendrix was like a little kid. He was such a simple guy, you know.
And up on the screen pops Jimi Hendrix at Woodstock.
Okay, that is remarkable.
Yeah.
At the end of the presentation, the Berkeley students crowd around Henry Diltz, and a budding photographer shows him her work.
I just have some. I didn't like really.
Was that you at the piano, or did you?
No,
take
no, no.
That?
Just
you took
my.
That?
Yeah,
well,
I took
that's,
that.
That's great.
Like probably my camera wasn't that great, so you know, like the resolution probably not enough.
Well, I mean, look, you're zeroing in, you're filling the frame, you know.
Right.
It's like when you teach little kids to draw. You say, you know, you draw it all the way out, fill the paper, you know, with the picture. So just your job is to get yourself in those positions so you can take the pictures, you know.
And then one last Henry Diltz photo of the class.
Everybody give the peace sign. Okay. Now, everybody give the finger.
Okay. Look away off the mind. Get gone.
Legendary album cover photographer Henry Diltz at Peter Payak's Berklee College of Music class. To see every album cover we talked about and more, and to order prints, go to hereandnow.org.